I'm always thrilled when we have a conference representative come and visit us from our church. This morning we have Larry Barker. Larry is the liaison between the churches in North and South Carolina, between the churches and the prisons. I guess that includes federal, city, and county prisons. And I know that there is a tremendous ministry to be done as far as prison ministries are concerned. A good friend of mine, Richard Bland, he lives in Alabama. Mm-hmm. He started United Prison Ministries. Are you acquainted with Richard and the work that he does? I've known Richard for probably 25, 30 years, and he has done an outstanding job with prison ministries. And I want to thank Larry that he could be with us today, and we would ask God's blessings upon him. I understand, Larry, we're going to have some special music also.
Yes, sir.
We can have it at this time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we want to welcome our visitors. I saw that some came in later, so we're glad that you're here today.
We're going to let Melvin and Shirley Smalls do a special song. I'd like to open up in prayer before I get started. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, seeking to buy of your gold tried in the fire that we may become rich, to purchase your white raiment to cover our shameful nakedness, and to buy your eyes salve that we're able to see. Now, Lord, when I open my mouth this morning, I pray that you'll give me the words that I will fearlessly make known the gospel for which we are all called, not just me, but all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath, that's right. Thank God for Friday and the Sabbath. I know I was ready for it. How you doing, Gloria? Been a long time. You doing all right? You still doing community service? Not this year. That'd be the first time in a long time, huh? How long was you community service leader? You see, it's a great privilege for me to come back here today because in 1995, I was in Allendale Correctional Institution. And the last time I came here, I was thanking you then and I'm thanking you now for giving to the Lord. I was in Allendale Correctional Institution and Jack Cross, who was a member at this church, came in to see me, fellowship with me, when my own church would not even come in. And my own church is Somerville, which I'm there today. I'm still a member there. I got over that, though. I got past that. For a while there, I couldn't understand it, but God says if you cover a fence, you're promoting love. I'm here today, and I'd like to start out in Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Everybody familiar with Gideon? He was a very strong warrior. He had a little bit of doubt. He wasn't sure about going into war. So God told him, starting in chapter 7, he said, in verse 10, it says, if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Peru and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Peru, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash. The Israelite God has given the Midianites the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets. they were to blow. They shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Trumpets. They're used throughout the Bible. It'd be Michael the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead shall rise. There's a trumpet call in Revelations, where you have the seven trumpets of the seven angels. Well, this trumpet call here was to encourage Gideon and what he was to do, and that was to go in and take the camp as God had told him. He was scared at the beginning. But when God said, go down into the camp, I'll show you that you'll be encouraged and then you will take the camp. God has a camp that He wants us to take too. But first, we must prepare for it. I'd like to go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. This is another trumpet that must be sounded too. And this is all of us. Each and every one of us should be sounding a trumpet. Ezekiel chapter 33 in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet, he did not take warning. His blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. You and I are that watchman. We are accountable for the blood of those who are supposed to receive the gospel. Our three angel message. Everybody remember what three angel message is? Where is it found? Where? Revelations chapter 14. Okay. So you ain't forgot what the message is. That's good. And that's why I'm here to say thank you for giving to the Lord when you did. You know, when I was in Allendale, I was there 2 years. 2 years. And, of course, this was my last trip to prison. I'd already been to prison 3 times prior to that. But this is the 4th time. And during this 4th time, I was more closer to God than I could ever be. And the reason is, you know, when Jack Cross came to see me from this church, that was an answer to prayer. I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 5 and explain to you chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What I can assure you, when Jack started to come seeing me and we was doing fellowship and Bible study, that I was praising God for this church. Even though it was only one man who come, I was praising God for the church. You know, Jack Cross did something else when he was come to see me. They have a little series of books with the Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, Patriarchs and Prophets. It's like 5 books all in one little set. He sent that to me. Do you know to this day I still use it? It came from this church. I still use it to this day. It's all because of one person. But he represented a body, which is the church of God, Jesus Christ, which is Achan, this church here. You know, we have another Seventh-day Adventist in Allendale who's experiencing the same thing I did. He's been down for 17 years. His name is John Wozowick. And I'm asking for a plea for someone here again to do what they did for me. They need a volunteer to come in and start fellowshipping with him. And the thing that's so good about Allendale, they're so hard up for volunteers because they're so remote and so far out in the woods, they'll take anybody, including someone like me, an ex-prisoner. Now, other institutions where they have plenty of volunteers, they can pick and choose who they want to come in. But right now, they'll take Seventh-day Adventists, even though we're not highly thought of. And I can assure you, you will meet opposition. As Seventh-day Adventists, it is our job and our duty as a Christian to take this gospel, the three angels' message, into the world. Prisons are the most distant land underneath the heavens today. God told the Israelites, when I banish you to another land, He was talking about when He would discipline them for them sinning. Well, today, God disciplines us through prisons. When we break the law, what does it say in Romans 13? The governing authorities have been established by God. No authority has been established except through Him. And these governing authorities are God's agents of wrath to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. So when we break a law, we go to prison or to jail. With me being a drug dealer for 25 years, raised to be a Seventh-day Adventist, went to the Charleston Junior Academy there on Savannah Highway till the eighth grade. Gave my life over to God when I was 12. But by the lure of easy money, I was drawn away from God. And Satan has a way of getting our attention sometimes. I was talking to Tim as we was driving up here yesterday. He was asking me what's the biggest drug deal I ever did. And I told him it was like 375 pounds. It was like $375,000 involved, but I made $11,000 in 1 hour. Some people work all year long for that. I made it an hour and blew it in about a month. Easy come, easy go. My goal as a regional director for North and South Carolina, I would say South Carolina because Jim Wetmore more or less is director for North Carolina. But there's not enough of us. One man, two man, three men, or four men and women can't do everything what is called to do for prison ministry. We need volunteers. And I'm here for a plea today for that. I would like to come back on another date and do an orientation or a workshop for anybody interested in it so we can start it. So this church can do what they did for me, for John Wozowick. He's been there now 6 months. And I've been trying to get something established there for him. And the thing about it is the chaplain's ready for somebody to come in. Other institutions like Ridgeland, South Carolina. Melvin and I have been praying about this for the last 2 years, and we can't even get in there. That chaplain there is dead set against Seventh-day Adventists coming in. But by the grace of God, we're getting in under a different situation. They have what they have, Kairos. Anybody ever heard of Kairos? It's a prison ministry that goes into South Carolina Department of Corrections. And they're made up of several different, you know, denominations like Baptists, Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians. And they go all in and have fellowship under this Kairos program. Well, by the grace of God, this chaplain in Ridgeland, who does not want us in, does not know yet that his assistant chaplain, Chaplain Platt, has allowed us to be oriented as volunteers, Melvin and his wife and a few others, and they'll be going in September under the Kairos program. The same chaplain who told us we're not going to be going in. that we were not going to come in. He told me. And matter of fact, the same chaplain caused me to lose my volunteer status in SCDC as a volunteer. Volunteers are not allowed to write inmates when they're volunteer, and they're not allowed to send money to their inmate account. Well, I had been doing this under Carolina Prison Ministry, but the account in the bank was made up with my name on it because I'm in charge of Carolina Prison Ministry. And I had a stamp made up with Carolina Prison Ministry, Larry Barker, Regional Director, that I would stamp the money orders with when I sent them. Cooper Trust Fund is the department who handles all inmates' money that comes into SCDC for South Carolina Department of Corrections. When they typed into their computer, whoever was working the keyboard put my name down and not Carolina Prison Ministry. And that's how it showed up in the computer. It was saying that I was giving money to an inmate named Ron Black. And because of that, this chaplain in Ridgeland proved to Columbia that I was having a relationship, because volunteers are not allowed to have a relationship, even though they want you to come in and do Bible studies. Some of the policies and rules that SCDC comes up with, I don't know where they come from. They don't make sense sometimes. You say to yourself, how can you not have a relationship when you're having a Bible study? But like I said, I don't make the rules, I just break them. My wife called me a violator one time. I said, you got to remember, I just got out of prison. I am a violator. But, you know, these guys in prison, you'd be surprised how much they are a blessing to me. And that's one part that I miss about prison ministry, is going in. I still go in and have a clergy visit one-on-one, but it's nothing like a Bible study, a group Bible study. There's such a spiritual high from that, you'd have to go to find out to see exactly what I'm talking about. And when I say a spiritual high, the best example I can come up with is, remember after Elijah on Mount Carmel had the fire come down, and well, he got ahead of the horses, chariots of the king. The Spirit came upon him, and he outran the horse and the chariot. That's a spiritual high. Okay? That's the kind of spiritual high you can get from a Bible study. And I'm not saying that you can't get that in church, but there's something about when you give yourself away, you'd have to be there to experience. You'd have to go and do it yourself to see what I'm talking about. Hopefully that will grab your attention. I have someone else here today. Melvin and I do what we call a Q&A. Melvin, do you want to do that, or you just want me to bring him up? Okay. All right. Melvin's going to come up and explain to you what we do for Q&A.
Hey, I need Tim to pop up here as well. Come on up here, Tim. Yeah. You've heard some of the things that Larry was saying, and one of the things that we found shocking was that the chaplain in Ridgeland ends up that he is a Sabbath keeper. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist, but he is a Sabbath keeper. And our biggest opposition that we're going to run into when we go into prison is the fact that we're going to bring a spiritual truth, and it's going to make everything that they look as darkness. So it behooves them not to allow us to come in. But this is God's work. This is God's ministry. And we are called according to His purpose and to His perfect will. And His perfect will is for us to serve man, no matter where that man is. So in lieu of that, and kind of giving you kind of a scenario of what you have to deal with as far as chaplains go, it requires prayer of the saints. And we all need to pray in the same direction. Now, Larry's been mentioning this of John. And just to piggyback off of what Larry is saying, you guys, this congregation, you and Aiken, are so much closer than I am in Buford. And I'm just praying, sincerely praying, that one, maybe two persons or whoever in this congregation would see fit to go visit this brother. Because to me, it's like, if we don't visit him, we're leaving a man behind. You know, I just feel that in my heart. And I hope today that someone else has that same compassion and says, hey, and just reach out to this brother. To be by yourself in a world that does not want to accept you is not an easy task. So, having said that, I just pray that someone's heart is touched this day. This is Tim. Tim's kind of a local guy, but Tim's, you're from Aiken, right? Okay. Now, Tim, I'm going to put it to you this way. Tim gets mad at me if I leave him up here by himself, you know. But you know what? Tim's just going to have to get mad at me today, you know, and I'm going to be quite fine with this. Because Tim has something that I believe that you need to hear. Tim has firsthand experience. And I don't believe that I need to form a Q&A for Tim. I think Tim just needs to bring you how he met Christ. And when Tim was telling me about how he found a book, I knew it was God all the way. So, Tim, I love you. I know you're going to get upset with me, but brother, I'm going to leave you right here. You know, but tell them, just bring them the truth, man, about the need of prison ministry and what God has done for you and how you found God in a dark place. Yeah, just move over this side there. There you go, my brother. I'm going to set you up good.
I know you do. Okay. I know you do. Bless the Sabbath, each of you. My name is Tim Troutman. I don't have a format to go by. I don't have an outline. I don't have any cards or anything like that. So I just speak what the Holy Spirit tells me to tell y'all. I'm from Aiken since 1954. I've been in this area. I went to school here, just about every high school you can talk to. I graduated from Aiken High in 1967. I went to Lavelle McCampbell when it was a high school. I went to elementary school in Langley, Eustis Park here in Aiken, Langley. I went to LBC High. I've been to just about every school in, you know, the old schools anyway, we call them. I lived all over. That's been since 54. In 1972, I got married to a girl from the Valley. I had a daughter. In 1975, I had a son born right here in Aiken Hospital. My dad was from North Augusta, lived off Carolina Springs Road, had a company. And then he started running video poker when it was popular here in Aiken and Edgefield County. So I'm a local boy. I know the roads. You know, I've been down them all. Also, been in prison. I just got released from prison in March this year, and had 4 months. Before that, I started my criminality in 1975. It's 35 years in and out of prison. Twice in South Carolina, twice in the federal. I was a drug dealer right here in Aiken. I was a bank robber right here in Aiken. I robbed the first federal in Clearwater in 1989. I was at Labor Correctional Institution in 2004, I'm sorry. And I was in the segregation unit. I was in there for forging. I was in prison for forging prescriptions because I didn't want to go to doctors and get drugs to move. I wanted to be a doctor. So I wrote my own prescriptions, which I sold illegally. And I caught a 10-year sentence for it. And I was at Labor Correctional Institution. I was in segregation because I was not a moral inmate. I was rebelling against authority, just like I rebelled against society. And while I was in the segregation union, I found a book by Helen White called Desire of Ages. Someone had just left it there. And I read it. And I read the book cover to cover. And it touched something in me. It lit a spark. It created a means where I could find purpose and meaning for a life that I never had before. So I dropped on my knees and I asked God to come into my life, which He did. I was saved December 15, 2005. And I began my Bible studies through Amazing Facts and Voice of Prophecy and It Is Written. I've done all the courses. And I finally joined a church and baptized on November 15th, 2006, about 18 months later. Because I wanted to know the truth, and I
felt like Seventh-day Adventist was the closest religion to the true philosophy. Because I was raised Baptist. I used to belong to Langley First Baptist. I was in the RAs. I was raised a Christian. And like Sister Brooks was talking about during the children's store, I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew it was wrong to steal. I knew it was wrong to rob banks. I knew it was wrong to sell drugs. But it's a conscious choice that I made. Because I rebelled. And having said that about rebellion, I want to read something from Psalms that David wrote. And we may bless in the Lord's word. Psalms 107, verse 10. Such as sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, brought their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there were none to help. Since they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bonds asunder. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his set goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. For he had broken the bonds of brass, and cut the bonds of iron asunder. I can't begin to tell y'all what prison is like. I can't begin to tell y'all what the grace and the love and the mercy of God has done to me. But it's changed me. And it's through the prison ministries that I was brought to God, through Helen White, through the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And for that, I would be eternally grateful for the body and for the Word of God. Because he used the conditions of prison, the dissolution, the hopelessness, the dungeons, the despair. And it brought me to a place where all I had left was him. All my money was gone. My family was alienated. All I had left was, I had no hope, no purpose, no meaning, no drive. I had no love. Except Christ. And he touched me and he showed me that. And sometimes, like Larry, we have to get to that point in life. It takes longer for us, some than others. It took that for me to understand that without God and without Christ in my life, it was hopeless to me. And for that, I'd be eternally grateful for the writings of Helen White and for the Adventist movement. And like I said, it's hard for me to tell y'all about prison. We can talk about anything here in Aiken, and I know Aiken. Y'all my community, you know. I was raised here. I know the streets as well as anyone here. This is home. No, not really, because my home is in heaven. I was just passing through Aiken, just like I passed through this life, like each of us is. Our home's in heaven. And we have a mission while we're here on earth. And that mission is to spread the gospel. And prison is one of the most places that need the message spread. There's thousands of people in prison, 30-something thousand people in South Carolina alone, over 2 million in the United States. And a lot of them is without hope, just like I was, without purpose, without love. And without prison ministries, I'd still be lost, and I know that. So I urge each of you to consider or pray and ask the Spirit what you should do. We all can do something. And we have a commission from God to do something. We have a commission to serve other people. Who better can we serve than someone that has no hope? I don't know your financial situation. Maybe some of you can't help financially, and I understand that. But you can help with time. You can write letters. You can send literature to them. You can pray for them. They need all that. They need your support. If I didn't have the church's support when I got out of prison, I'd have come back to Aiken. More than likely, I'd start beginning the drugs today. It's only by the grace and the mercy of God I stand before you. Not as a drug dealer, not as a bank robber, but as a child of God. Sister Brooks was telling children's stories. But we're all children of God. And the same rules and regulations we put on our children, God's put on us. To be obedient to His Word. His Word tells us and commands us and directs us and instructs us to go and spread the gospel, to share the gospel with those less fortunate than ourselves. That's our commandment. And James says that if we know to do good and if we don't, it's sinful. I urge each of you to ask the Holy Spirit, should I get involved with the prison ministry? It's something anybody can do. You know, you can write letters, like I said. You can give them time if you can't give them of you. But give them a part of your heart. Because you'll be blessing God and bringing honor to God and bringing glory to God. And you'll be bringing blessings to them and you'll be bringing blessings to yourself. I urge each of you to consider it and think about it, pray on it. Because there are a lot of people in prison like me, like I was, that are lost. And it's hard for me to tell you, it's hard for me to explain what God has meant to me and what He's done for me. He's changed me. He's changed me completely. I don't want to do wrong no more. But I know that without Him, I would turn back to doing wrong. I ask each of you to pray on it and pray for me, pray for my family who are lost. We talk about prisons, but you know there's different kind of prisons. You might have prisons of... I was in prisons of iron, but you might have prisons of doubt. You might have prisons of jealousy. You might have prisons... There's different types of prisons. So, don't be a prisoner. Be a servant of Christ. And I ask each of you to consider working for the prison ministry through Mr. Barker. He'll give you his name and his address and his contact information. And I urge each of you to consider it. Because it'll bring a blessing to you, I'm sure. I thank you for your time and patience.
Okay, three angels message again. Some churches have the three angels. I've been to one church where they had the three angels and they were showing the trumpets. Remember that? Anybody seen that symbol? Or should I say a picture of it? Some churches have it where it's on the front, you know, go take it to the nations. This is the trumpet that we're talking about today. This is what we should be sounding. And what better way than to do it through prison ministry? You know, this church probably don't realize this, and I didn't either at the time, but you participated in a life that was changed. I'm talking about me. If Jack Katna come in as a volunteer to fellowship with me, who knows where I'd be at today? Think about it like that. I had no earthly idea that God was going to have me be regional director when I was in prison. The pastor today said I was a representative from Carolina Conference, which I am, but guess what? I don't get paid for it. This is volunteer. What I'm doing right now, I volunteer. That's what a ministry is about. When you've been touched by God, you're going to do something for Him. I was touched, I was changed, and God used this church to help change me. I am a life that's been changed. And sometimes I don't think we understand that. Probably won't till you get to heaven. Because this is God's doing, not mine. And me being a life changed, and now that I'm out, I have an opportunity to do the same thing. And that's why I'm helping Tim. When Tim got out, he went to Columbia First Church. John Earnhardt was the pastor who baptized him. When he got out to go to Columbia First Church, and here again, this is God's will, not mine, something didn't work out right. He called me and asked for help. I said, sure, I'll do what I can. I tried working Tim with me because I'm a residential builder. I got my license since I've been out of prison. And I tried to work him with the work I can do, but Tim has certain limitations because he smoked cigarettes for how many years? 45 years. He has emphysema. But he is able to cook. He does it good. He works for the Salvation Army now in Charleston. And God provided that. And he was here today to give a testimony because I participated in a life that has been changed. Even though it was the Columbia First Church who went in to see him when he was locked up. It was their volunteers who persuaded him to get, well, it was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit used the volunteers to persuade him to be baptized, to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And he's here today to tell you what the Lord's done for him. And again, this church participated in me being changed. So what goes around comes around. Now it's going back to Tim because what you did for me. And I'm asking you to do it again. Melvin, you want to play the guitar for the song that you like to make fun of me singing? I got to keep my word. I said I was going to sing it. If I sung it in Augusta, I got to sing it here too. I tell you right now, I'm not a singer. This is a Baptist hymnal. In case you're wondering where I'm singing from, they don't have this in the Seventh-day Adventist hymnal. Why? I don't know. I don't ask questions. I improvise and adapt and overcome. I like the song because, believe it or not, it was... Anybody ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? I heard him sing it first time and I liked it. It's called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Now, if I can just sing it right. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When
my feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Now we have a song we're going to sing called Stand Up for Jesus for our closing song. And if you would, we're going to stand up for our closing song.
Sure. Everybody stand. We're going to sing 618. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus. He's soldier of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From
out prayer, I'd like to ask the church for a love offering for prison ministry. Can we do that? Would that be all right with the church? All right. And yeah, the deacons, if they would come forward to take up a love offering, and while they take up the love offering, if Melvin and Shirley would come back up, we'll play a song. Would you be kind enough to do that for me, Mel? How about On the Battlefield for the Lord? And I'll sing it with you, Shirley.
Also, I want to remind you, our visitors are invited for a fellowship dinner that has been prepared for them today. If you would,
sure,
would like to say bye,
yeah,
glad to eat with us. Also, I just wanted to remind you of the banquet dinner tomorrow evening at 4:30 p.m., and tomorrow, Russell and Arlene in the morning will need volunteers to help set up tables and chairs. Does anybody can volunteer to help Russell and Arlene take care of that? when the boys are coming, we have a number, then just see Russell and Arlene. What time is it going to be, Russell? Okay, that would be great. Thank you. We got a number of volunteers there.
Heavenly Father, I thank you again for using this church to be a light in this community, just like it was a light to me when I was in prison in 95. And I pray that you continue to do so, Lord. I see now that they have plans to build a new church, and I know that you're going to finish it just as you start something, you always complete it. I thank you for using the Aiken Church to change my life around, and I pray that you will use it to help John Mosewick and Allendale Correctional Institution, and I ask that you continue to pour out your blessings on this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.